here with Timo Vorontsola, director of Iron Sky, a Finnish science fiction comedy currently in production that has a very unique and captivating premise. The Nazis were able to escape after World War II and build a military base on the dark side of the moon. And now it's 2018 and they're back to take over the Earth. Vorontsola and much of the crew gained cult fame with their Star Trek spoof series, Starwreck. Thanks for speaking with me, Timo.
Thank you. Thanks for having me here.
First of all, I love the premise of the film. Who came up with the idea and how did it all come about?
It was originally actually one of the writers of Star Trek, Jarmo Puskola, who we were working on Star Trek film, and we're sitting in a sauna sometime and thinking what to do next, and he came up with this idea. Well, he had this idea, like, how about making a film about moon Nazis? And we were like, yeah, I don't know, it sounds quite big and problematic, but after we had finished Star Trek and we were still like, okay, what should we do next, then the idea kind of popped back in and said, okay, let's try what we can get out of it. And that was kind of the beginning.
And so to my understanding, your country has a history of actually being sort of oppressed or controlled by the Soviets in Sweden. Did that ever come to your mind as far as using them as a villain as opposed to the Nazis?
Well, at some time, Swedes have always been, it's been like several hundred years ago when we were still under the Swedish kingdom.
Right.
And they weren't actually kind of oppressing us. And, Russia, yeah, we had our winter war and that sort of, but we kicked their asses, so they're not, really a big threat to Finns anyway.
Yeah.
But Nazis, that's much more than that. It's very, very interesting science fiction topic.
Right.
And I think a lot of science fiction films have been kind of circling around the topic very much about Nazis in space. But there's almost none. I mean, some episodes of Star Trek and some other have a little touch of that, but basically, not a feature film on that. So I think that was the kind of main idea.
Did that episode of Star Trek, because I remember that actually, did that influence the premise at all? Or did you guys...
I don't think that at all, because I just watched it like 1 month ago for the first time, so at least not on my mind. And as I was watching it, it absolutely has nothing to do with what we were working on. So much more what we were working on here is like an alternative history approach thing. And assuming that this could be possible. I mean, if this would have happened, then this could be possible in a way. So it's a little bit different.
Right.
Different.
And do you worry about any kind of backlash about using Nazis, especially since I know one of the production companies that's part of this is actually German, I believe. Because I know Germany has a really strict laws when it comes to Nazis and stuff. Does that play into anything?
We were probably a little bit worried about that before we started working with our German co-producers. And our main idea in the beginning was that we're going to need a German co-producer to work with this in order to make it, in a way, accessible and also in a way to make it right, because it's a topic that they're very touchy on it, and we have absolutely no intention to kind of go into those corners of the topic that would not be
don't ruffle any feathers.
Yeah, and so eventually, I mean, Germans, they seem to love it. They just seem to go crazy over the topic. Many of them say that, if this was a German film, they would never allow you to do this. But because this is a Finnish film, you can do it. And, Finland-based film, you can do it because, it's a little bit different if you're a German, that sort of stuff. And so, yeah, it's still a topic, and I mean, with several distributors, they're always like, I don't know, let me read the script. And when they read the script, they go find out that it's definitely not a pro-Nazi film or anything like that. But it's still something that may be jumping up every now and then. And it's quite natural. This is the baggage that the topic has. that's we need to respect that.
Exactly. So, your Star Trek movies were a series of movies. Are you planning on this to be a single movie, or maybe you're looking at a series or sequels to as well?
Depends how good it turns out. I mean, if it turns out as good as it looks now, it's definitely going to be several other sequels to this, because I've been thinking about new stories around Iron Sky, and I think it's a one damn interesting world and topic, and great place to play around with the idea. But we'll see eventually how it turns out. I mean,
right.
It's.
But you feel like you have content, or you feel like you have you've created a universe where you can create content for this topic.
Yeah, that's what I definitely think, because in a way, I haven't created the universe. I've kind of approached it from an existing universe from an alternative reality,
right,
or alternate history aspect. So it means that, I mean, I could do anything. This film is set in 2018. I could do, you know, anything. After that, after this film, after what happens after that, and you know what has happened before that, and that sort of stuff. So I think it's a interesting play field, but we'll see how this one turns out. I mean,
you never know. All right, so speaking of the Star Wreck, this film, Iron Sky, is an international co-production, multiple production companies, but most of your team has actually worked together before on the Star Trek spoof, Star Wreck. Yeah. So which actually was provided as a free download. What was the reason for it being offered for free?
A couple of reasons. I mean, you know, Finnish language amateur science fiction Star Trek parody, that's not the, you know, the most
lucrative.
sexy topic in a way to that anybody would actually believe that there is any reason to distribute it. But that's not the main point. I mean, we made it with our community, and it was from the very beginning the idea that we're going to put it out for free and see how many people like it. And that's what we did eventually. And I mean, luckily we did that because we were able to get more money from that way than we would have ever. I mean, more money than normally any Finnish film company does from a normal Finnish film release. So eventually it was also kind of business-wise a good decision. But definitely we didn't know that when we were working on the film. We just thought that, you know, let's make this, and if somebody's interested, let's put it out for free and, you know, see what happens. And
right. Were you guys actually fans of Star Trek? Is that why you guys came up with that?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, our producer, Samuli Torsson, was a big, big Star Trek fan. And I personally, I hadn't seen any episodes of Star Trek. And now, I just started an interesting project with my girlfriend, which I'm actually blogging also about. It's called Trekathon, where the idea is I'm going to watch every Star Trek episode and every Star Trek film ever made, which is about 750 episodes in 1 year. And we started this, and we've been doing this for, I think, 60 days now, and it's pretty good. But this is the first time that I've seen Star Trek, so I'm kind of right. Until this moment, I haven't understand, like, I haven't understood, like, half of the jokes in the film that I directed. Until now, like, whoa,
wow.
It's cool. So anyway, it's... definitely, it was kind of a half and half, but I think what made us all combine together was we were all, in a way, we liked science fiction and, we were willing to go to act before a camera, so that was kind of...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yes.
So were you all already friends, or how did your group kind of get together originally?
Originally, it was, everybody has, in a way, their... different stories. One guy was found from the internet, and I was actually originally asked to play a role in the Star Trek 5, which was was a short film made before the feature film.
Mm-hmm.
And I happened to be, you know, quite loud on the set, and they thought that I could be a good director because I have a loud voice. And
there you go.
Yeah, I mean, what else do you need? Nothing. And, so that's how I get started, and, you know, it was kind of half people from the internet, half people from, you know, circle of friends or people
right.
around the city.
And how do you feel about the series reception? It's kind of gotten like this cult following.
It's in a way, it's amazing. I always thought it was amazing. After I started watching Star Trek myself, I kind of understand. I mean, I think those are written surprisingly clever for kind of an amateur Star Trek spoof. I think they tend to be quite clever, and specifically Star Trek, the film, the feature film, the idea that I wasn't a science fiction, you know, I wasn't a Trekkie, so I was able to make it approachable to also peoples that are not Trekkies, actually, to anybody who is interested in I don't know, anything. So I think it was a pretty good thing that that some people were and some people weren't Trekkies in the team. And altogether, the cult following, I think it's, you know, it's such an absurd thing. I think that's always kind of also attracting people and, you know, cult following. It's such an absurd thing. I mean, Finnish language Star Trek parody. None of you have ever heard Finnish language anyway. So suddenly there's a feature film of it in a Star Trek, in a way, in a Star Trekish universe.
Right.
Science fiction universe and, you know, cool special effects that are actually good.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, horrible acting and, you know, strange Star Trekky spoofy storyline. It's such a strange combination that it becomes, in a way, unique. And I think that's the interesting thing about it. And
it's a good recipe.
Most of all, I think, I mean, yeah, and also, I mean, most of all, the fact that we made it for 7 years and we were working very actively close with our internet community
mm-hmm.
was also kind of a very important thing to start spreading the word and, you know, get
right.
it out there.
Get the buzz for it early, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, between the Star Wreck and the Iron Sky, you guys are kind of seem like you're doing a lot of, you know, spoofs and stuff. Have you guys looked at maybe going towards, you know, working together more on more serious projects or more bigger budget films? Is that something that you guys are looking at doing?
It's a good question. I mean, we did Star Wreck with zero budget, and Iron Sky is one of the biggest budgets in at least in Finland ever made. And so we're kind of exploring the both ends of the whole the spectrum. And I hope eventually we'll find, like, what's the best in making zero budget and what's the best in making a big budget film and find some sort of a combination in between where we pull both resources together and create something. Right now we're exploring how to make a big film, and Samuel is already writing the next Star Wreck. So I'm not sure if I'm going to be directing it or not, or what's the situation there.
Mm-hmm.
But at least he's working on it, and I think he has a plan to do it a little bit bigger than last Star Wreck, but not as big as Iron Sky, but still like
right.
Free distribution idea and that sort of stuff. To be honest, I don't know yet. We'll see.
And from your Star Wreck series, you guys created WreckAMovie.com as a collaborative tool for filmmakers. So tell us a little bit about the site.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of an idea. We were working with Star Wreck, and it was sort of a lot of people wanted to participate in the filmmaking, and you know, in many times we were in a situation where we couldn't have done the film without the internet community. But it was a bit chaotic working with the internet community because we didn't have any kind of a tool for that. It was just asking people over the email or over the forum or over the, you know, mailing list or some, you know, random places. And you know, it was kind of a complicated to gather all the pieces together and make something whole out of it. And with WreckAMovie, we kind of wanted to find an answer to that. And, you know, try to make it make a tool for, you know, not just for us, but, you know, basically any filmmaker, how you can engage your audience and how can you collaborate with your audience on specific tasks around film. So the idea is that filmmaker puts up a task on WreckAMovie and the community can pick up the task and start working on it, and thus helping the film to get made.
Yeah, it seems like with, you know, nowadays, the technology to make your own film, I mean, you guys have proven it with Star Wreck. It doesn't take a whole lot. It just takes a little bit of effort and, you know, and some creativity, you know, the right kind of willpower, and you're able to make it without having to have a huge budget. And so something like, you know, WreckAMovie is a great way to get that manpower a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's manpower. It's a huge amount of resources that we would no other way able to reach, and also audience engagement as such is also important. It's super, super important on the internet because, you know, films and internet just traditionally they have absolutely nothing in common. They are just filmmakers are using internet as a marketing channel, and then they are surprised that it doesn't work when they don't understand the fact that, you know, in order to actually work on the internet and, you know, get the good out of the internet, you need to create a community. The best way to create a community is two-sided communication where you talk, they talk, and you actually work together. And that's I think, one of the key ideas of WreckAMovie as well is to keep it as one building block of the community and the whole idea of participating with the filmmakers.
Right. And yeah, like you mentioned, you're the bigger budget for Iron Sky, it's around 6 million euros. With the larger budget, it looks like from your ironsky.net, the homepage for the site for the movie, that you're actually looking to distribute the film in the U.S. And I've seen you've been able to get some distributors for foreign markets. How are you working on getting getting the distributors for the States?
For states, distributors, that's a good question. I mean, we have a sales company that's working. I think we have several discussions going on with several distribution companies. But to be honest, as not being a producer of the film, I actually don't know too much about how it's our kind of, in a way, our pre-sales market goal. We are going for Cannes this year, and I think there's a huge amount of interest on the film.
Right.
And
that's a great way.
Yeah, I mean it's a good way to do it, and we've been there before, and we made some deals. But I think the basic idea is that before this Cannes, we didn't want to do deals because we didn't have anything actual to show. Now we have much more like a script and this. So it's kind of a new market for us. But the idea is still that that's interesting. And, Just to make sure that Iron Sky will be distributed in a way traditionally, so we are aiming for a theatrical distribution, and independent on what I feel about digital distribution, which is quite the opposite that most of the distribution companies feel, I still believe that in order to get this on theater screens, the best way is kind of do it this way. And also the problem is that we have quite a big budget, and getting that budget for kind of an unorthodox distribution method would have been, at this very specific moment in time, would have been a little bit too complicated. So we didn't want to go there.
Right.
We wanted to go try to find how to get traditional and non-traditional funds together to make this film.
Yeah, I've seen that you use on your website the Demand It feature, and last time I checked, it was almost 8,000 requests. So you definitely have a lot of people that are interested in having it being shown. So, I mean, you guys are – that's a I think that's a great way of doing it. I've seen that where they used it with some of the bigger movies like Paranormal Activity, things like that, where they've used that same feature to get it into more theaters and actually made some pretty good money off that. So that's definitely a good way to get your budget back.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, demanding is it's an easy way for the people to show that they like this film or this idea. And, but the good thing is that you have a lot of data which you can talk with the distributor saying that, I can show you that from, this South American country, there's 100,000 people demanding to see Iron Sky.
Right.
So how about, let's get it there, that sort of thing. So
exactly.
I think it's also kind of a good signal. But more than that, working on a film can be quite a in a way a lonely business, and you get to feel like nobody's actually interested in what you're doing, that sort of stuff. So going there and checking out that map with the red dots on it, it kind of gives you back the idea, there is people who want to see this, I just don't.
It's like reassuring.
It's a good, we don't live in Hollywood, so we don't go to these parties every weekend with a lot of people, talking good to you. We just sit here in our small offices and, crunch the bites. And so it's our way to get some reassurance. There's a reason to make the film.
Well, I think to a certain degree, it's actually a good thing that you guys aren't in that kind of, sweet talking environment where this is the greatest thing ever, where they are, you see that. I've worked with producers before, and it's definitely, you get a lot of that where you're just like, what is this junk that's coming in, and then they're just like, this is so great.
Appease
people,
and it's complete opposite of kind of a Finnish mentality, which is Finnish men just basically don't talk anything anyway. And I always feel very in a way uncomfortable with this kind of sweet talking guy people, because you go around the world and you meet every now and then one of those blabbering is it Californian producers or whatnot, and they're just your best friends for and it's confusing. So
it's very fake.
It's very fake, and I don't know. It's just one of those things that we Finns are not. I think none of the no Finn I know is really used into that. You just need to learn to realize when somebody says let's do lunch that, you know, they actually meet or they don't, because if you say that in Finnish, you start to gather up, you know, get up your calendar and ask, okay, when? But you know, I realize that with it's just a, you know, phrase for
right.
People. Yeah, let's do lunch.
Right. And one of the things I noticed from both the teaser for Iron Sky as well as from your Starwreck series is the surprisingly good quality of your digital effects. How are you able to achieve that on such a low budget, especially with the Starwreck?
Yeah, we have a wizard working with us, or one of our producers, Samuel Dorson, and the producer of Starwreck, and also the main guy acting in the Starwreck, as one of the scriptwriters. He's in a way a child prodigy in that way. Well, not child anymore, but he used to be a child. I mean, he's been doing that ever since he was, I think, like 10 years old or 12 years old or something like that, starting from the, you know, Deluxe spec, very, very early, before 3D was available in home computers, and then evolving bit by bit. And I think he knows quite, he has a very good, we have a very good relationship with him, because I'm able to say what I want and he's able to produce that on CGI, and you know, we can communicate very easily, because many times working with 3D people, the communication is actually the biggest problem with the director and 3D people, because it's hard to say. I mean, I can say that I want this and this and this, and they go asking, okay, where do you want, you know, how many percents do you want this light or this,
right,
you know, particles here and that sort of stuff, and there's a communication problem. I think we have a very good communication with Samuli, so I think that's one of the reasons that we're able to pull out. And it's also one of the key reasons that we're actually able to make this film, because looking at the script, our producer, when they first got the script, they said, you know, this could easily be 1 million per page. And we definitely don't have that. So we have to do this, you know, super bootstrapping this. And the only answer to that, where we were able to say, you know, we can do this because we have quite good CGI team, a couple of other people also who are really, really good, and they are working very kind of cost efficiently, because everybody wants to get this film made.
Right.
I think it's good.
Do you think that may be the kind of the key to the film being accepted, especially, you know, when it comes to theatrical releases and stuff, is the fact that there's at least on summit level, there's a high quality to the film?
Yeah, I think it's with Iron Sky specifically. I mean, altogether, I mean, with Iron Sky, we try to make it in a way as good as possible, and not every field, you know, we've been working on the script for like ages to get it really, really working. I mean, it's a good script, and we really needed to push to get it working really, and we have a very good actors and cast and whatnot. So yeah, we just want to make everything match, and I think like CGI is always like one of the important things, but no, it's not just CGI. We just try to excel in every field we can.
Right. And so, obviously, our site covers viral marketing for films. And I've noticed that Iron Sky actually has some viral in the past as part of its fundraising efforts, including the war bonds that you have on your website. Great idea. Can you talk a little bit about those and how that works?
Yeah, I mean, altogether, I mean, viral marketing is the only way to get anybody to know about this film, because definitely we don't have a budget to go and compete with any bigger films, and we just want this to be recognized among the people who are actually interested in this kind of stuff. And so we try to do every kind of viral market, and it's always based on the idea that we have a community, and we talk with the community, ask them to help us in a way. And so we created all this kind of different approaches. One of them is, I said, Rekka Movie is one of them, and you know, also one of the ways people can support us is by a war bond, which, you know, back in the 40s, there used to be these war bonds to help the war effort against the Nazis. So we thought that, okay, it sounds cool, so let's just take that and revamp it a little bit. And the idea was that, you know, if you want to donate to this film, you can, according to Finnish law, you cannot donate to a film. You need to be some sort of a, you know, Red Cross or some, you know, do-good organization in order to be able to accept donations. So we can't. But what we did is we have a one piece of paper that costs €50, and you know, you get a little bit of it's kind of a diploma that says that I supported Iron Sky. And in a way, it's a war bond, and we started to sell those war bonds, and they've been pretty good. And it's a good way to get, you know, especially in the beginning when the film is like very, very unsure if it's made or not, and you know, before you have a script and before you have anything in mind, it's very important to be able to kind of kickstart it a little bit so that you have something, you can do a teaser or something like that. And war bonds and any kind of community funding, that sort of things are always good to get you started up. And the big question I think still remains is like, could you fund a full feature-length film with crowdfunding, whether it's like, you know, this or this or this? And so far I've been watching the field and I'd say it's not easy, but it's possible. Age of Stupid was able to do that. And, you know, I think a couple of others have been able to make progress, but it still requires a lot of thinking and, you know.
It's tough.
Yeah, it's tough.
With your laws with the donations, you get around that by basically they're paying for a piece of paper. That's how you get around
basically,
the donation issue?
Yeah, you get the...
For the certificate. You pay...
Oh, is it? Yeah. I mean, what you get is that, like, you get a kind of a diploma saying, kind of a war bond, which says that I supported Iron Sky, and you can put it on your wall or whatnot.
That'd be cool.
And then you get the little booklet that tells you a little bit more about Iron Sky, and then you get a DVD, which has like Iron Sky teaser and you know, some making of and that sort of stuff. So it's in a way small. It's cool stuff. Definitely not worth 50 euros, but the idea is definitely that you give the 50 euros to get the stuff, but it's actually that you give the 50 euros to support our film production, and you know, you get something back from that. And I think it's a pretty good and working way, because also, I mean, creating community, the best way to get people engaged is by asking people to give you money, because that way you have created a bond and they will make sure that they didn't give this money to you for nothing. So
right.
They will be also your first kind of a most active advocate on the film, saying that, you know, I bought this war bond, I support this film, I want to make sure that when this film is out and or when anything like a teaser or whatever is out, then, you know, I will help whatever I can to make this film spread and, you know, get it out there.
So going more towards the viral marketing, tell us about the newspaper that called The Truth Today and that you guys created and how you guys came up with that.
Yeah. I think it was just one moment. I think it was So it's called Truth Online. The Truth Today. It's a newspaper that we issued. We were thinking about, you know, cheap way to promote ourselves in Berlin Film Festival back in 2009. I think it was 2009. Yeah, 2009. Was it? Yeah. Anyway, and we thought that I was like working around in the Helsinki and saw this Metro newspaper and I was reading something else. I thought, you know, it would be cool. No, there was this guy who was handing out these Metro newspapers, which is like free newspaper. We thought that, okay, it would be cool if we had this in 2018. We just make up our stories. We just go to our community and ask them to write, you know, a newspaper full of stories. Anything comedic topic, from comedic topic to real stuff and, you know, whatnot. And we were quite happy to find good stories, and we made this one episode of that, and we had a newspaper boy who was like shouting on the streets of Berlin that Moon Nazis are coming, and I think it was pretty good and, you know, very cheap way to market the film. And we continued from that. We did also an issue to Cannes Film Festival, and now we have also the Truth Online website where we always update when us or the people write funny stories set in the year 2018, on the community. We put it up there. So it's like, you know, it's in a way Onion, but it's set in the future, but and a little bit different approach. But
yeah, it's a very cool concept. So you can actually see things that kind of tie into the film a little bit, and some things that are just kind of there to make, to kind of fill it out.
Exactly, because there is like one thing I say, there's hints to the story of the film, but we don't tell what are the hints. if you read it very carefully, you get some sort of an idea what the story might be.
Right. And so I remember there's part of your VAR. We actually had a picture of the moon that had the swastika on it. And I was reading some places where some people actually believed, there's like a few forum posts and stuff like that where people actually believed it was a real picture. So what do you make of that?
Conspiracy theorists, they are the greatest bunch of people out there. The fuzzy swastika picture, which was something that we photoshopped in like 15 minutes. We didn't have anything to put on the front page, so we just, okay, let's do this very fast and just, you know, a couple of Photoshop effects on that, and you know, that's it. and like half year later, we started to see like how the hell our web pages are flooded by people coming from above Top Secret, which is a big conspiracy theory forum on the internet. Mm-hmm. And we found out that somebody has really taken that story and believed that it's real. And there was like a lot of discussion, like 6 pages of discussion, like, whoa, why didn't we know? Until somebody actually said that, come on, guys, it's a film. And we thought that, you know, this is hilarious. And then like 3 months later, it happened again. Like, don't you learn? But it's fun. So, yeah.
I've seen it. So I always think that's kind of cool about viral, and we've seen that with some of the even the bigger budget films. 2012 had a viral campaign, and they had a whole web page for an organization that was trying to help prepare people for 2012, the end of the world. And people were people, even though they explicitly put on the site near the bottom mm-hmm. that it was, you know, this is for the movie, people still were calling in or were all worried about it and everything. So it's always, I think that makes it even more cool when you actually get to see it take off like that. Because, you know, if you just try to put out something that people see as marketing, they may not think much of it. But when you get them invested in it where they think it's real, it creates an even stronger bond with them.
Yeah, I agree completely. And, you know, and most of all, and I mean, the top thing, the one reason we are making these films is that it's fun. And that's definitely one of the fun sides. But the thing is that we give out something completely outrageous claim and some people believe that it's fun.
Yeah. Like it. It proves that people like the topic.
Yeah, and that's also true. I mean, the good thing about this topic is that, you know, even a brief scan on the internet, you find out that there's a lot of people who actually also believe this topic. Like, you know, there are Nazis. At least they went to the moon and that sort of stuff. And and so it's kind of, it's in a way also quite, good ground or basis for any kind of film. And, you know, I've been thinking that basically, you know, conspiracy theories, they are always like it's a good basis to work on a film.
Yeah. And so one of the things that's been great about your production for Iron Sky is that you established a great connection with the fans who want to follow it step by step, especially through ironsky.net. And I think we mentioned this a little bit before, but do you really feel that's kind of the only way this could even be made is by having people be invested into the process?
Most definitely. So, it's definitely that. And we couldn't do this without the fact that we're working with the internet community because of because of everything. But basically, like, we have so much resources and so much interest and so much ideas and so much, you know, everything coming from the community. But more than that, I wouldn't know how to work the other way. I mean, Star Trek this way, a little bit different, but anyway, this way. And I would feel like really, really strange not to work with the community. It mm-hmm. would feel like I'm wasting like half of the potential there's out there. So I think it's also kind of a question of generation filmmakers. I think like a lot of filmmakers on my generation now are starting to think, or specifically the next generation after me, younger people than me, I think it's so natural part of any kind of communication that it's not going to be a big question in the future. It's not going to be a big question in the future if you're working with the community or not, but it's just like, how much are you working with the community, and you know what ways. But right. it's such a natural approach to people, and you know why not? It's what I don't like about films nowadays is that the lifespan of film is getting so small. I mean, if you a filmmaker can make a film for 7 years and it's like out there for 2 months, like teaser out and trailer out, and then the film is out, and it's like altogether 2-3 months, then DVD. But it's not a very long time. Right. And I believe that it's much more interesting if you can actually hop into the project right from the very beginning. And, you know, the arch of the film is much, it's much more kind of, it's much longer. And I hope it, and it does seem like that with Star Trek, which is at least in some way still alive. Mm-hmm. Out there is like, that is also taking it much longer if you give it more space in the beginning, more life in the beginning. It's also
right. I mean, it's like you're spending all this time, you might as well do something to make it so that, you know, it's like cooking, you know, you take all this time to cook, then people eat it right away.
yeah exactly. But yeah.
All right, so when do you expect the film to be ready for release?
2011 is the year. I don't have exact release date yet in right. in my hands, but I think latter part of 2011 is that we release this.
All right, and I think that's pretty much it. You know, for anybody who wants more information, ironsky.net. Your company, energiaproductions.fi, yep. is the site where you can go for that. Again, yep. wreckamovie.com. Is starrec.com, is that the site for Star Trek?
Yeah, that's Star Trek.
So you can go there. I mean, for any more information, and if you want to, you know, buy some war bonds and...
Yeah, you should do that.
Definitely help out the movie as much as you can. I mean, I really look forward to it. And, you know, like I mentioned before, I love the premise. We've already shown it's going to really kind of attract people to it.
I certainly hope so. I think it has, I have a feeling that it has a potential of that. And in addition to that, if you want to follow me on reading, on my started watching marathon,
trekathon.posteros.com. That's it. Good luck with everything.
All right. Thank you very much.